And we're rocking. Okay. So, is anything, Molly or Lenana, do you want to contribute out of that conversation that we were just having before the formal start? Or any questions you have?
Well, I'll just say it definitely me too.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry, Molly.
That's right. Go ahead.
It helped me too. I'll be honest, BJ. It definitely made me look at some things as well. So thanks for bringing it up.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
I was just going to say, you know, in listening, because I came in a little bit late, I sent my food waves to the screen, but I guess nobody got them. I was finishing my dinner. and it smelled good tonight, too, for a change. But anyway, what I thought about when you were discussing this was that, you know, if I had that situation and not to be hooked into it, I think the word that came up for me was to be compassionate, to be understanding, but to treat it in a way that to let the client know that I'm with them, I'm fully present, but I cannot get myself into that same place, because that's not where I want to be. But yet to convey that I understand, I'm compassionate, and that I'm here for them. And that I think the questions that, you know, I would ask would be questions that would, you know, pertain to what they were going through, but also, you know, to help them with the fear, because I think behind it all there is a fear. And,
always.
Because I mean, it's a tremendous thing, that the experience of going, you know, through a surgery. It's for anyone. I think, you know, there are some people maybe that go that do it and they're fine with it because they've resolved that this is the only way. And there are other people that don't. So you know, that would be my.
Yeah, that's a part that I was using as a metaphor. I actually don't know the details of whether or not this person has any of that going on.
Right, we really don't know. But
think,
if I were coaching them, I think that would be a question in some way, maybe not come out with it, but, you know, there would be a question that would maybe resonate to them about that, that they would share. You know, but
yes.
It's a very difficult situation.
Yes, and the thing you pointed to there is something that I want to get to today as well a little bit later, but behind almost all of our challenges is fear.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's in the coach thinking that I'm afraid I can't do anything with this, whether it's the coach or I can't help the client, whether it's the person who's in the situation being afraid that it's never going to end, that it's never going to be different for them, and that they are absolutely helpless in the face of it all, and they can't handle anything that's there. And so, you know, they're trapped. And or the fears of anything else that might be looking like it, this particular moment is part of a domino effect of a chain of events that's going to lead to one's ultimate disaster. In the background of all of it is fear.
Mm-hmm.
So when we get at fear, and it's a fairly pervasive experience in the game of the human experience, it is a core experience for the illusion of separateness. You know, it is what has us seek to, out of the illusion of separateness, it's what has us seek to control or attempt to control.
it's a motivator for all the things that we don't want.
Yeah, and so we're looking to, we're looking to avoid some sort of imagined consequence. And it will show up in terms of things like anger, frustration, because in the moments of people experiencing those particular emotions tap the adrenal system, which give us a temporary physiology or physiological experience of having some kind of power or energy in our world. And that then overrides the fear or overrides the sense of helplessness. So momentarily, it's like taking the drug of adrenaline to escape the true core experience of fear. So when we get angry about stuff, one of the things that we're really showing is that at the bottom line is some fear, and we're going to get hijacked by our system of medicating, meaning anger, it's a medicating emotion, medicating fear. So as you go deeper with everybody, and the more you do, whether you are evoking and calling forth parts of themselves that they don't see or haven't been familiar with, but some little part of them knows it's there, and now all of a sudden it's both uncomfortable and unfamiliar, and creates a whole lot of uncertainty, you may masterfully evoke someone and have to address fear that comes along with it. Because otherwise, we would all, at all times, be living from our genius, living from our greatness, if there wasn't some kind of governor on it. And so the true answer to masterful evoking is to continue to work with completing people's fears that are in their body, residence, being provoked by a current set of circumstances, and or helping them see the story that's being made up out of a projection of a fear or an expectation that went awry, or a disappointment. And the more we help them address fear in both places through core and C technique, as well as GAP, actually, then what happens is the natural thing that's left is the greater sense of self. So with that as a start, here we are. And I've put this slide up deliberately to see the world in a grain of sand and to see heaven in a wildflower. Hold infinity in the palm of your hand and eternity in an hour.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
This is presence. And each one of us is all of that. We are not separate from. It only appears that way because that's the way the unit is built. You know, imagine artificial intelligence that's built to recognize certain things. Here's an example. The GPS on my car hadn't been upgraded, I guess, in a year, somehow. And it didn't recognize a road that had been put in the last 6 months. It didn't see it. So to all intents and purposes, to that GPS, that road did not exist. And yet we were driving on it, coming home, and it's beautifully paved, and it's brand new. So if we don't recognize it, to all intents and purposes, it doesn't exist. And what's been part and par for this course is the ongoing intention to have you recognize that you are not outside the universe, that it is every cell of you, that presence is available at all moments, as is genius. And I'm going to get to a different definition of genius than you usually presented with. So presence, self, is the come from. It informs the moment, the relationship, the nature of the interaction. We are merely funnels, portals, the path of inquiry, the issue to be addressed, the source that is sensed and known while living in the daily moments of life. It's the ever-present background of intelligent energy. Presence. Some people call it God. Others call it source, the force, the collective consciousness, quantum information field, Allah, Yahweh. Doesn't matter what the label is. It's all the same. As it comes through us, it has attributes such as unhookable, because there is nothing to be hooked. We're not attached. It has ease and grace. It has a sense of knowing what, when, how, where, and if. And it's able to spontaneously respond to the needs of the moment with the fullness of one's being. This is presence. This is what we're after. This is also what we're seeking to call forth from people. Now, self, that word, is typically expressed as either the ego, that which knows, remembers, desires, suffers, etc. Or it is self, is the uniting principle, as a soul underlying all subjective experience. When self shows up in the former, it is the ego, solo, it's small, it's limited, it's a container, and it tends to want to act on the universe as if it's acting in a vacuum. When it shows up as the uniting principle, it is the absolute presence of potential. It's interconnected with everything. It is possibility personified. It is infinite, and it is portal. So our experience of self, and self then is the resident paradox of being uniquely generated, meaning one of a kindness called you, the oneness of you, one, and simultaneously in absolute connection with everything, meaning oneness in a larger sense. And it requires us to be able to work with both and instead of either or. And the fullest expression of unique self, both sets of oneness, is the true gift of masterful evocation. Anybody have any questions here? If we can sit with the paradox in this moment that says there are individual expressions called each of us, and there is only one. Whoa. That was intense. Mm-hmm. There is only one. If we can sit with that, and we can play the game of the human experience from a completely different level. because we are neither attached nor defined by the game. I am not defined by the experiences that I like and the ones that I don't like.
Michael, that's interesting.
Yes.
Because maybe I don't define myself as what I like and don't like, but I think other people define us as that.
Well, people who are still playing from the illusion of separateness will.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually part of the game,
the world,
the mechanics
that
of the game. Well, there are many who don't.
I think the world does that in general.
In general, I would tend to agree with you. And yet there are many people who don't define you that way. You may interact with them, and they may interact with you, and they go, oh. And they are people who see you versus seek to define / confine you.
I think that's true about you because of your greatness and who you are, but I don't think it's out there as much, and I think because of the media and of the values that people place on certain things, you know, living in a materialistic world. I mean, that's just how I see it, and that's, you know, it's societal pressures that do that. So in order for us as coaches, or just for me to be, you know, who I am and who I believe I am, I don't want to be defined like that. So I have to work even harder for me to accomplish that.
Perhaps you might think that. However, I suggest it's actually much easier, which is if I attempt to resist their definition of me, then I am engaging in the illusion of separateness.
No, I don't mean it that way. I mean that I have to really believe as for me that this is what I want, this is who I am, this is who I am being. And that no one can come in and upset that or change that.
Right.
It's my authenticity.
Okay. So I'm going to invite an expanded view. Is that okay with you?
Sure.
Okay. When you're experiencing the full presence of self, all of what you just said, you would have no concern over.
Right. I understand that also. Yes.
Yes, and that's...
Those thoughts don't even come into play.
They don't come to play because they're not relevant.
Not at all.
Yes.
Right.
I used
but from
to
an intellectual...
Yes.
From an intellectual standpoint, as we are discussing it, it's different.
Well, I can share with you that I used to spend a lot of time trying to defend myself, defend my uniqueness, defend my... You know, and I would speak
but that's
in terms
maturity.
Of
that. I think you get to a point in life maturity where you don't care about that anymore. I don't.
Yes.
It took a long time to get there, but that's the growth that we endure for ourselves.
Well, it seems
you know,
to be
I wanted to be
that put on,
perfect
yeah.
person. But you know, but I'm finding out that I just can't be. So I don't care anymore. I really don't.
Yes, and what many people may find is that it's never been a worthwhile goal in the first place. Not because we don't care about it, because it's actually yet another illusion. Some sort of perfect model of existence. Religion has at times been founded on that premise. So, what I want to... Whoa. what I want to share is that the recognition here with respect to calling forth people's genius is that as we do this, what we have to know is that we are engaging in the game of the human experience and play on multiple levels at the same time, wherein it is very valuable and powerful and maybe of great service for us to do this with them. And ultimately, it's irrelevant. Because it's all an illusion in the first place. That doesn't mean for us to not play the game well. It doesn't mean for us to not play the game of the human experience as brilliantly as we can and as transformatively as we can and with as much compassion and sense of service and soul as we can. And do everything that occurs to us to contribute and experience the game in the way that we see and still hold that it's a game. It's that last part that gives us our power, so to speak. Otherwise, we're hooked by the game, and the game is playing us. Now, the interesting thing about the first quote on this page here, everybody is a genius, but if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it'll spend its whole life believing that it is stupid. Means this is part of what it is to recognize the brilliance or the genius of uniqueness.
Yeah.
Presence manifest into unique forms. And the second part is what really was curious to me when I found this one, which was in ancient Roman religion, the genius was the individual instance of a general divine nature that is present in every individual person, place, or thing. It wasn't an intellectual level of intelligence. Albert Einstein was a genius, not because he had this mathematical or physics-oriented mind. Genius is not relegated or related to intelligence. Genius is related to uniqueness. It's served much better when we relate with it that way. Because now somebody could have a genius for fixing cars. They don't have to be book smart. But they may have a natural, intuitive understanding of, wow, I get over to this engine, I take a look at it, I listen to it, and bingo, I know what's wrong. They may have a genius for being able to soothe animals. And so they're working in a zoo or a veterinary office, and the animal, you know, people bring their animal in and they just sort of touch them and their presence and their energy works with them. And they have a way of understanding what's going on with the animal from its experiential nature. Genius is not limited to intelligence. And if I could poke a hole in that one alone, it would be worthwhile. Because we parade the badge and label of genius as an elitist concept rather than an expression of uniqueness. Going back to that, the genius was the individual instance of a general divine nature that is present in every individual place, person, place, and thing.
That is such a wow. Oh, my goodness. Just look how that could change the lives of so many people. Yes. If they could only understand that. Oh.
Which means someone can be a genius at playing the piano and be a genius at gardening. We could be a genius at the most mundane things. And there may be many people who are living from their intelligence, thinking that that's their genius, and they haven't really begun to tap into it. Our genius emerges and our confidence grows when we do what's most meaningful to us. What do you think makes it that meaningful to us in the first place? It's because of the connection with the divine expression in us. I had 56 different jobs. Was I a genius, or was my genius expressed in any one of them? No, I was not a genius at water polo. And it isn't that this is a solo thing, like, you know, like your eight strengths, you know, like, or your one genius. He's a genius or she's a genius. You may have several expressions of it that are all interconnected. I would say one of the links in my 56 things that was there for me that it began to express genius was the ability to continually learn and learn how to do any one of those 56 different jobs. That something inside that came through me could assess, discern what was needed to learn how to do those. And when I got with most of those things, when I got to a certain level of efficacy, I was done. Because I wasn't to become an expert in that thing, because that wasn't what the point was. The point was the exercise of the genius of learning and transforming myself. That's what I was engaged with. So this is what we're seeking to call forth. We're seeking to call forth from people, not from them, through them. We're seeking to call forth through people the divine nature that expresses itself in particular forms of genius. And this is what stops it. Fear. Primarily because, apart from survival and the expression of difference that we've talked about a number of times, primarily because interimly, there's almost an isolating effect of experiencing one's genius until one gets past that level of it and begins to experience the genius, their genius, the one coming through them, as part of an intersection of genius that is interconnected through the entire universe. Interimly, the more it grows in us, it may look like it is an isolating effect. And on top of it, the compulsion to belong and survive in the game is strong. Additionally, because we haven't seen it before, our expression of genius, it's mysterious and uncertain as to whether or not it will be accepted, approved, challenged, or it will be our destruction. So it is simply and has been historically simpler for us to suppress the genius coming through us. It leaks out every now and again. Somebody may witness it. Someone may give us what we think is a compliment about something that is an accomplishment. And we may dismiss it contingent on our orientation, or we may take it into our ego and fluff ourselves up. But what they may be responding to is simply a momentary flash of like, holy crap, that was genius. And they might not even have the word for it. But they may simply be amazed. I'm sorry, I missed that.
I think you were just hearing my cat.
Oh, okay.
Somebody talking to my cat.
Okay.
Michael, in this genius, for coaches, it's part of our personal foundation. I don't think if we don't dwell and work on that personal foundation, we'll never find our genius. Because I don't think most people understand that concept.
Well, very few will genius as related to uniqueness.
Right, exactly. Because basically, you know, I use that word genius as an intellectual ability,
mm-hmm.
rather than as relatable to uniqueness.
Yeah.
So if I am to, for myself, as I work on myself and my growth and my uniqueness as I'm listening to you, it has nothing to do with my intellectual intelligence. It's about who I am and what I present as a human being in my uniqueness rather than what I've accomplished intellectually through the years. Now, I'm not saying there is a small part of that plays into it, but it doesn't show my uniqueness.
No.
My uniqueness comes from a totally other place.
Well, it is an expression of what you're built for.
Right. It's from my core. It's from my heart, my soul.
Yep.
But see, Molly, now I would argue that there are people who find it because there are people who are operating in their gifts, so to speak, or their uniqueness. They may not be able to communicate it as that or, you know, be fully aware of their discovery, so to speak, but I think that there are other people who land on it or, you know, fall upon it somehow in their experiences.
But they don't recognize it. I mean, I believe that my passion for coaching is part of my uniqueness, but I never realized it because I was too much involved in the intellectual part of, am I going to get it? How am I ever going to learn this? You know, where am I going to get this concept? When am I going to get it? When is it going to get easy for me? When all along, I already had that uniqueness was operating in it and didn't even know it.
Yep. And there are many people who have tapped it, and we have tended to, you know, like we've called people an artistic genius, choreographer genius, you know, painter. We've called people a culinary genius. You know, we have seen it show up, but it hasn't necessarily, that people still think of it from the point of view of intellectual brilliance somehow.
Yes, yes.
When really it's an energetic expression aligned with certain topical application. When I say topical, I mean, you know, it might be in theater, it might be in baseball, it might be in business, it might be in, you know, health studies, it might, you know, who knows? But if you were to ask me how many geniuses there are on the planet, I would ask you, what's the current population?
Hmm.
And then what I would be most curious about is how many people are, A, in touch with it, B, expressing it, and C, using it as contribution.
Bingo.
And that is the beauty of coaching, is that this is what we get the privilege of doing. Subtracting the fear through using the tools, GAP, which is a tool that is designed to bring people into the experience of wholeness, so they're not looking for their sense of self in other things or in other people. The C technique that allows us to have a recognition of the story and the stuff we're making up that has actually no truth at all when we're in the experience of self. The core technique, which helps complete energetic patterns of fear that have been lodged in the body, almost like a bruise, like a trauma has. You know, the definition of trauma is a violation, and rarely is a physical trauma not accompanied by an emotional one. And often there is an emotional trauma that has a physical residue. And sanyama, where our fear that is born out of uncertainty can simply be addressed by a question into presence. And then wait, which is about the recognition that, you know, there is something that we do need to be paying attention to, and it may very well not be the thing that we think it is. In fact, in most cases, it isn't. These are the things that can subtract this experience of fear. And the experience of being alone in the universe isn't the tool for subtracting that. Isn't even up here, and that is agape, wherein one experiences one's awareness as interconnected and permeating the entire universe, wherein the sense of small self, ego, starts to dissipate and disappear, and one feels the full connection with everything. And when one feels that, aloneness can't exist, because it's inaccurate and irrelevant. And this is what, and Neil deGrasse Tyson has also talked about this. He has said that if there was one thing that he as a scientist and a physicist could get everybody to understand in the world, is that you are the stuff of stars. That the same physical material, the same stuff that is fundamental element of the universe, the physical universe, comprises human beings. That we are not different from. And this is the remember always for today. Both you and the client are expressions of the divine. And when we presence that, then what is euphemistically called miracles can happen. Transformation is a natural expression of the presence of the divine. So, here we are at session 9. What I'm most curious about is your experience of your journey from 1 to 9. Which is, this is where we are so far.
Well, I'll start. You know, I took this class before. I'm not sure it was the same class, the same screen or not. Of course, I don't remember what I said last night or did last night, so that could be the problem also. However, because of where I am today, I see it in a different light. Because, you know, I was just, I was just out of the womb when I took the first one, and knew nothing. And 2 years down the road, almost, here I am, and I see it from a totally different perspective, and understand it so much more because of my plight and who I am today and where I am today. So it's been an entirely new learning experience for me. And as I was here each week, I could take each session and apply it not only to my life, but to my clients that I work with, and see, you know, where I can be hooked, and to be able to look at things in a different perspective and see the frictors that are causing are stopping my growth. So again, you know, it's been another enlightening and enriching experience for me that I hope just continues and continues.
Yes, and thank you for coming back to play and also for advocating with other people. One of the things that I want to make clear for everybody is that once you have come to play in any of these webinars, that you can come back at any time for free to play again. And you've just heard, in Molly's case, you've just heard that it's going to land differently. And yes, the slides are all the same. And yet, you are not. Because you have been in the process of presencing your self-transformation, which means you're going to relate to not just these slides or the ideas or all of this differently, relate to the world differently, and you have been. And it's a consequence of your investment in yourself in the service of others. So
I'm going to go out on a limb and say this also, and whether it's politically correct or not, I don't care. I think it's incumbent upon us as coaches and colleagues to carry this message forth. I really and truly do, because coaching has to evolve like we evolve in our lives. Coaching has to do that too. And we have to carry this message or it won't happen.
Yes. And what I have a recommendation, and it is that the first place, or the first method of that is presencing versus articulating. In the world, in the game of the human experience, the biological frame for most organisms is to imitate the behavior before they listen to the message. Children do this all the time. Little polar bear cubs imitate how the mother hunts. That's how they know how to survive. So as each of us models the presencing of this, it opens the doors for people to hear. And so the more each one of you does your own transformational work, the more each one of you lives from whichever pieces of this stick for you, you're also, not that it's not a bad idea to speak this, but you're also already affecting people energetically, whether you tell them what you're doing or not.
Your attraction.
It's your attraction and your expression. It's your emanation.
Right.
You're emitting the energy of this. It's radiating.
You live it.
Yes, you live it. And I'm going to use this analogy, although it's an odd one, but it's an easier one to put. When something is radioactive, everything around it is impacted by that. You can walk through a room. If you were radioactive, you would walk through a room and infect everybody in the room. So in a funny way, it's almost like what you're talking about here is presencing a transformation contagion. Be contagious. Be viral. And let people get it through your energy as much as anything. Bert, in the past couple of sessions, has talked about how he's changed, how he interacts with people. And he's having surprising results for him. This is what Gandhi meant. Be the change.
And Michael, I'm going to say that I'm not sure that we can rate it on a scale from 1 to 9 because this was really a very powerful experience. And like Molly said, it does, it translates in both your own personal life. I think it translates in every area as you indulge and play with it for your personal self. It carries over in your interactions on a personal level, in your interactions with clients. And it is very contagious, and it's like a smile. You know how they say you really smile and others don't smile with you.
Yeah. Yes. So was this the journey you thought you were going on, embarking on when you started?
No.
My GPS system wasn't up to date for this. My GPS system didn't say this road existed.
I'm with you, BJ. It wasn't on mine either.
So So I've had something, it's been really interesting. So I was not at the first class, but when I listened to the recording of the first class, and I think I said this, I walked on the beach here and I found a juvenile eagle feather. And over the last 8 weeks or however long it's been, I found four more. And I usually find maybe one a year. Today I found one that was it's kind of beaten and battered, and because I'm on salt water here, and you know, you're not supposed to get them, but it's like, for me, it's like the universe gives me a gift, and it's like it gets beaten and battered if I don't, you know, take it and enjoy it and appreciate it. So it felt like a real metaphor. As I was walking the beach and found this one today, it was like, oh, there's something about being really open to the gifts that arise. And we were talking about this at the very beginning today, and in ways, you know, that I don't necessarily expect, but to be really open to however the gifts show up. So that's been a big part of this journey for me, is to, you know, have each experience as a gift. And the place of being present, I think that's been, it's kind of run through this course, and that presence of spontaneously responding to the needs of the moment with the fullness of my being. It's almost been like each of those words has gained meaning through these weeks. For me, it's more a matter of remembering how to breathe, because I sometimes forget, so it's still a really helpful reminder of that place that we're all expressions of the divine. There's a song, and I was talking about it in a class I was teaching yesterday, that it's Karen Drucker's song of You Are the Face of God. And, you know, remembering with each person that they are a face of God or an expression of the divine is the same thing for me. What I'm left with is still that sort of that question mark, and I have this big question for me is, what is my genius? I don't know that I know that totally. I'm getting glimpses of it, and so it's being on that that journey still. And it doesn't feel like fear is what's in the way of it. So that's, you know, there's, I have a little bit of thought. I don't fear that, I don't feel I'll be isolated if I find it. I actually feel I'll feel even more connected. So it's more, there's something else that's a frictor for me about that. And it's not fear, so it's kind of interesting. That might be my next session with you, Michael. It's like, what is that? That's feeling, well, like, that would be a good one.
I have a question for you that might prompt it or provoke it. May I share it?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. And that is, do you have any fear that you'll go to your grave not knowing what it is?
Mm.
That you will never find it?
Mm. Maybe.
Therefore,
you know, that kind of gets a little bit of gets me a little bit.
Great.
But,
wherever that
yeah.
is,
yeah.
wherever that is,
uh-huh.
Do go right into the core of that right now.
Mm. Oh, okay.
wherever that is,
mm-hmm.
the notion that you will never find it, and you will go to your grave having missed the opportunity to contribute
mm-hmm.
your genius. Is that provocative enough onto the radar screen? Good. Right into the center of it, follow the vortex of it right down to where it is sourced. And when you get to where it is sourced, notice everything you can about that place where it is sourced, the entire energy of it. Feel that energy so thoroughly, there's nothing left to feel. and what's happening?
It feels like it's letting go. It's almost like my experience when I've done some of this myself over the last couple of weeks, it's like giving birth. I've never had a baby, but it's like, that's what it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the letting go of the energy of the whatever's there. It feels like it's, it's like, releasing energy, it's like giving birth.
Yeah. Well, it's neutralizing the constraint. Because the constraint has a particular energetic pattern. And when you completely re-experience it, or experience it for the first time, when you complete it, then it simply resolves into neutral energy. That may feel like a release for a lot of people. In the same way that if you hold a fist very tightly and you held it for a very long time, the tension of that would start to travel up the arm, into the shoulder, into the back, down the side, etc. And then eventually what happens is that if you let go of the fist, it'll be a completely different sensation there. And that's a lot of what the core does. It's very similar. So take a look in that place where that is was. Is there any more concern that you will go to your grave not knowing what it is? Not knowing what your genius is, your uniqueness, your contribution completely to the world is?
There's still a little bit, but it's certainly letting loose quite a bit.
Okay, then
I didn't even
right
know
into...
it was there. Yeah, I didn't know it. Yeah.
Well, you're sneaky. So right into that one, almost like this is the last little vestige of holdout.
Mm-hmm.
And go right into the nucleus of it.
Mm-hmm.
And what's happening now?
It still feels like, it's like it takes me a little bit of time. It's like I'm going through it, but I'm not, it's like there's an opening. And,
okay. Maybe something also that's at play here.
Yeah.
And is there any concern that out of all of the manifestations in the universe, you were born without one? It's somehow the universe screwed up, that everybody else has genius and you don't.
No, I don't think so. I don't think I have that. I don't think I don't think I'm that special that everybody else got it and I didn't.
Okay.
No.
So is there anything in the statement that you said that I'm just going to ask you to feel into this statement as you say it? I don't think I'm that special. Put anything else at the end of it.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting. It's being a little facetious, but then when I hear it back from you, it's like, no, I know I have gifts to offer.
Good.
And I'm getting glimpses of it. I'm just not, it's just not totally, totally clear.
Yeah.
But I do, I am getting more glimpses of it. So it's just
okay.
Like the fog clearing away a bit. So.
Okay.
More that.
So now,
more that, yeah.
Okay, the fog is clearing away. So I'm just going to ask you, in this last little bit that's remaining, is that emanating and radiating out past you somewhere?
Yeah, I think that's just what I was experiencing was more that. Because it was more the...
Good.
Yeah.
Good. So now I'm just going to ask you to see how far the field of the... I might, you know, there's a possibility in the future that I could die without ever getting all of it, ever getting enough time to express it, ever expressing it or finding it in the first place, ever knowing what it really is and thereby experiencing its true power and then being able to contribute that. How far out from all of that conversation does that field go?
Yeah, I think because I was already doing that, it's kind of clearing away to, yeah, it's pretty, yeah, that's pretty clear. That the external is clear.
Right. So is it still radiating?
I think it's like, okay, because there was some of the external that was getting in the way of the internal, and now it's just...
Yep. Now it's just internal?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, in that case, then, given that you can act as the speed of thought and even quicker, just dive right into the center of this.
Actually, it's transformed now to, it's like a wellspring is what I'm feeling.
There you go.
Wellspring of energy, yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for being willing to participate. So, here we are at the, at this train stop. And yet the train is still going, meaning there's more towns to visit, so to speak, in the future. And so I will stay in touch with you all and see what we offer in the fall. It looks like I'm going to offer the agilities. Not sure whether or not I want to do that as a launch in person and then webinars or just webinars. But... that may be something that would be interesting to come play with. So is there anything that any of you wants or feels a need to say in order for you to feel complete with this course for this moment in time?
Just that I'm wowed and thank you so much. And I feel like you have given so much. There's so much here. I can read over this stuff and look at this stuff for the next, tell you off until I take the next class. And I have some. It's just like each time I look at it, there's new, I get new insight. So I don't think thank you is enough, and that's what I have to say.
Yes, it's been truly amazing.
Cool.
I'm not going to say a word. Another word.
Okay.